Man, I tell you, we are so thankful to the Lord to be here today, and very thankful for a ministry that we do here called Anthony's Stocking. And it's a ministry that's featured there at the bottom of your handout on the front, and it's a ministry that we help needy children and families in the community at Christmas time so that they can have some Christmas, and we are so thankful for this ministry. Last Sunday, we started with, they put gifts up on the stockings of different children that were kind of like taken under our wings to help, and they started out with 440 gifts last Sunday, and then as of this morning, before the 8 o'clock service, we only had 130 of the 440 left, and then I got word right before I came in, there's only 95 left, so there's 95 kids left on that stocking out there on the tree, so if you'd like to help out, next Sunday's the gift drop-off, so you have a whole week. So you go out, you choose whatever stocking you want to take off, which is a gift that you would buy for a child, and then there's instructions, there's people there to help you and guide you through that. So if you would like to do that after the service, feel free to do so and be a part of this ministry. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says that God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. In fact, if you look at that verse on the screen, it says that we, believers in Christ, we are His what? We're His workmanship. And we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, when you got saved, God had a purpose for your life. And God wanted to do great things through you. And God wants to do good works through you. Like, you know, Anthony's Stocking's an example of a good work that we can do. We're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by trying to be better than someone else or be gooder than someone else. Gooder isn't a word, but that's all right. You got the idea. Being gooder. But you know what? Our salvation comes through putting our faith and trust in what God has provided for us in Christ and the death that He gave for us on the cross. But the moment that we trust Jesus as our Savior, the moment that we trust His death for us on the cross and His payment for our sin, at that very moment, God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And He creates us a new person in Christ, and He brings gifts whereby that we can serve Him. And all of us in here, kind of just like we have a unique physical DNA, and your DNA that composes you is unlike the other 6 billion people on the earth. And we talked about how you can, you know, do the spit in a bottle and send it off to these, you know, DNA places, and then they analyze it and they look at your DNA because it's unique to you. They can tell a lot about you from your DNA and a lot about your history and so forth. Well, that's physical. But all of us have a unique spirit. We're His workmanship created, and we have a unique spiritual DNA unlike anybody else in the church, in this congregation, in the body of Christ. And so what is it that makes up your spiritual DNA and thereby enables you to serve God in a unique way unlike anybody else? And that's what we started looking at the last two times we were together. Last Sunday, Pastor Rob covered the sermon. He did a great job, I heard. And so I'm so thankful for that. But the last couple times we got together, we talked about our spiritual DNA and what comprises that. And we talked, first of all, it's in your handout there as a review there, but your spiritual gifts. And we just said, well, you know, when you get saved and you trust Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And He brings gifts whereby you can serve God. We talked about the seven gifts in Romans 12 that the Holy Spirit brings. My gift set is different than yours, and yours is different than your spouse or your friend. And so we all have a different gift set that comprise our spiritual DNA. But we all have gifts. Every one of us have gifts, if we know Christ, to serve the Lord. But then the second thing we looked at is your past. Your past is unique to you. Nobody has a past just like you. And we looked in the scriptures how God can take our past, the good and the bad, and can use that in the present for us to be able to effectively serve the Lord and help people. And then the third thing we looked at was your heart, which your heart means the things that you're passionate about, the things that get you going and rev your engine, the things that make you want to wake up in the morning, you know, what you're passionate about. That's your heart. And how we looked in the Bible, how that He says, whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord. You know, do it with all your heart. And so we looked at your heart and your passions. But then the fourth thing I want to look at today, and I hope you're taking notes, I hope you'll write this in, is number four, the fourth thing that comprises your spiritual DNA is your abilities. And as you write that in, the very next statement under that says that your abilities are the natural talents that you're born with or talents that you have developed. All of us in here have learned, hopefully. I mean, how many of you have learned something in your life? Raise your hand. Anything. You've learned anything. How to brush your teeth, you know, how to take a shower, whatever. Okay, so we've all learned things in our life. Every hand should go up. How many of you, for example, how many of you in here can cook a meal? Raise your hand if you can cook. I need to take my hand down. All right. That's not my talent. How many of you in here can grill? You can grill out. You can make stuff on the grill pretty effectively. Raise your hand. You're not bragging. You're just, no brag, just fact. You can grill. Okay. I got to put my hand down again. I'm not very good at that either. How many of you can make coffee? I get to raise my hand. I'm really good at that. I'm better than my wife at that. Amen. I can make some coffee. Let me tell you, she's not a coffee drinker, so she doesn't make it, but I make the coffee. How many of you in here can drive? That's a talent you learned, right? You didn't wake up. You weren't born with the ability to drive a car, right? You had to learn that. So you get the idea. How many of you can ride a bike? How many of you can actually walk and chew gum at the same time? Raise your hand. All right. Good, good. That's a talent. Amen. So you get my point. We all have talents. Some we were born with. Some we've just learned. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, he got saved, but before he was saved, he had learned the talent, the craft of tent making, which was huge in those days. And obviously, he was pretty good at it, because after he got saved, he used his tent making ability to provide income for himself while he sought to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the city of Corinth. In fact, he also used tent making as an opportunity to connect himself with a couple named Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth. They were also tent makers. And so he worked for them, and he actually had the opportunity through that to lead them to Jesus Christ. And they became devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so that talent of tent making became a connection point for him later on after he was saved to be able to do God's work. So you may be thinking, you mean God can use my natural abilities? And the answer to that is absolutely. In fact, your spiritual gift that you got at salvation, those gifts that you received at salvation from the Holy Spirit, they enable you to now use your abilities and use your talents that you have for God. Whereas in the past, those talents and abilities may have just been used for you. So for example, let's say you have the gift of gab. You have a people gift. You have the ability to really talk to and connect with people, personality that people are drawn to. Well, in the past, before you knew Jesus, you used that talent to be popular. You used that, you know, talent for yourself to have people like you, maybe to further your business, to do well in sales. And so you used that talent and that ability for you. Now that you know Jesus, though, Jesus wants to take that natural ability you have to be able to connect with people and talk to people and use it to be able to point people to Jesus Christ. See, that's what he wants to do. Teaching, same way. Some of you have the ability to take things, complicated things, and you have the ability to kind of boil them down and teach them in a way that people can grasp it and they can understand things. That's a teaching gift. Well, when you got saved, then the Holy Spirit gives you the spiritual gift of teaching so that you can have spiritual discernment to learn the Bible and to be able to teach the Bible to people and thereby have that change their life. And I could go on and on. It could be the ability to play an instrument. You know, like maybe you played the guitar and you used it for yourself, but then you came to know Jesus. Now you want to use that ability, you know, for Him and to be a blessing to other people. And, you know, maybe the ability to organize or administrate. I could go on and on and on, but whatever your talents and your abilities are, God wants to use those in your service to Him. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4 and look at verse 11. Let's go up to verse 10. He says here in 1 Peter 4:10, if you're watching online, I hope you got your Bible or your device and you're looking at this with us. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10 says, as everyone has received a gift, even so serve one another with it, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, you got a speaking gift. Well, then let him speak as the oracles of God. You know, do it for God. If anyone serves, let him serve with the strength or the ability that God supplies. We all have strengths that we were born with, and then some of us have strengths that we've developed over time. All of that's God-given, and God expects you to use all of that for His glory. Look at the end of verse 11. So he says, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Over and over again, the Bible mentions people that were cunning. They were skilled at different abilities. For example, did you know the Bible talks about people who are really good at working with brass, woodwork, playing a musical instrument, hunting, stone workers, timber workers, sewing, working with gold and silver, engravers, embroiderers, people who are good at singing, the Bible mentions. The Bible talks about people who are good at inventing things, at leading, oratory skills. In the book of Exodus, God's will was for his people to build a tabernacle while they were traveling. And it was basically a humongous portable tent. And inside it would be all kinds of things that they would use to worship God. Well, here they are, they're in the wilderness, and they're wanting to build this gigantic tabernacle. How was that going to happen? How were they going to get that done? Well, I want you to look with me at a passage of Scripture here in Exodus 35, and notice it says, Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now look at this. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of craftsmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and in bronze. He says, and in the cutting of stones for settings and in the carving of wood in order to make every manner of artistic work. He says, he's also put in his heart to teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work as craftsmen, as designers, as embroiderers in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and as weavers, as craftsmen of every work and artistic designers. And so God provided people with abilities to be able to make His work happen, to be able to make what God wanted done happen. Well, in the next chapter, Exodus 36, I want you to notice what happens. This is so cool. Look at this. It says, Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person in whom the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to do it. They received from Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought to do the work of the service of the sanctuary. And they continued to bring to him freewill offerings every morning. And it says, and all the skilled men who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came from the work they were doing. And notice, they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than is needed for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. And so Moses issued a command, and they circulated a proclamation throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing any more. Isn't that a great problem to have, huh? He's like, you're bringing too much, right? And in fact, it says, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work and more than enough to do it. And so my point is this. Some people had the talent and the ability to be able to make all this stuff and design it, create it, make it, work with the wood, work with the linen, work with all the different fabrics and everything. Then you had other people that weren't very good at that, but they had the ability to bring in bring in material stuff, to bring in, you know, wealth and to bring in the wealth needed to be able to build this thing. And so it was a team effort, and everybody kind of did what they were able to do. And so as we look at that and we think about that, I think it leads us to ask the question, what are you good at? What has God given you the ability to do? And in your handout, it says, whatever that is, use it for His glory. Use it to reach people. Use it to share the good news of Jesus. Use it to further the cause of Jesus Christ through your local church. And then there's a statement that's very important. It says, your abilities, your talents, they were not given to you just so you could edify yourself and further your cause. God gave them to you for ministry so that you could serve Him and be a blessing to others. God gave you your talents and abilities so you could be a blessing to others. So hopefully you're beginning to see what I mean about your spiritual DNA. It's what makes you, you. And God wants to use all of it. And it all ties in, it all works together. So you get saved, you trust Jesus, He gives you spiritual gifts. We talked about those, seven of them. And He gives us all different gifts. He doesn't give us all seven. I have maybe one or two. You got one or two. But we've got these gifts. And then those gifts enable me to be able to take our past, our heart, what we're passionate about, our abilities, our talents, and to be able to use all of that for Jesus, for His cause. You have been uniquely designed to serve God, and the possibilities are endless. For example, some of you in here said earlier that you're able to cook. And that, how many of you would say that not only can you cook, you're pretty good at it? Now, again, you're not being prideful. No brag, just fact. You're pretty good at cooking. Come on. All right. I see a lot of hands out there. Can I ask y'all a question? If you have the ability to cook, can that talent be used by God to help people, to connect with people? And could the talent of cooking be used to impact people for Jesus Christ? Yeah. Something that simple that you've learned to do and you've developed that talent. You could cook for shut-ins. You could cook for people who are grieving over the loss of a loved one. You could cook at a homeless shelter and volunteer a day a week to cook a meal for the homeless shelter. You could volunteer to cook for some other ministry here in town that's helping people. How many, listen, think about this. Do you like a certain sport? You know, maybe some of you in here, you like a certain sport and you're pretty good at it, or you're pretty good at coaching it. Well, God can leverage your love and your knowledge and your talent in that sport to be able to bring people with the same interest to Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, you remember Scott McGuire was up here? He's the chairman of our deacons. And he mentioned that he came to the church through me coaching his son in baseball. And there was a connection point through a sport, through baseball. We met the McGuires, became friends. I ended up being able to lead Scott to Christ, and now all these years later, he's been serving the Lord here with us and chairman of our deacon board right now. The Schoenwetters, who sat right here in the 8 o'clock service, right in those two chairs, the Schoenwetters head up our ministry called Grief Share. It's a ministry that meets every Monday night, and it helps people who are grieving over the loss of a loved one. And the Schoenwetters came to our church through soccer. Our youngest son, Caleb, had one illustrious season as a soccer player. And he was like 5 years old. And that was the span of his soccer career, all right? But you know what? While maybe nothing, you think, well, nothing, you know, nothing life-impacting happened during a five-year-old soccer season, we met the Schoenwetters. And we met them through soccer, and they came to the church. Both of them trusted Christ and have been serving here for years and head up an incredible ministry of our church and have helped countless of people through Grief Share. You know, Wade Rowden is one of our deacons, and Wade played professional baseball. He played for the Cincinnati Reds and some other teams. And Wade, you know, he's used sports, baseball, to be able to connect with young people and tell them about Jesus. And so whatever the talent is, whatever your ability is, God wants to use it. God wants to leverage that to be able to serve Him and to impact people. So you just kind of got to start praying about it. Just start trying to see what that's going to look like, you know. Ask God to use those things in your life. I mean, something as simple as driving. You know, some of you earlier are like, yeah, I can drive. And you know, some of you have volunteered to pick up people for church, to use your ability to drive a car, to go out and drive the church van and pick up people who have no way to church. Some of you have a CDL, and in the past you've used that to drive a bus, to be able to pick up kids to come to church. That's all I'm saying is that whatever your talents and abilities are, God can use those and wants to use those to be able to help people and to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me this morning on that, huh? You see where I'm coming from on that? Now, there's one last part of your spiritual DNA that I want to talk about. Number five is your hurts. Your hurts. You know, we all have things that have happened to us that have hurt us. In fact, some of you may be going through some pretty deep stuff right now that's really hurt you. You're hurt. You came into this building hurting. You know, life hurts so many times. Life hurts. And I want to tell you that this book, 1 Peter, was actually written by Peter to a bunch of people who had put their faith in Jesus, and they had come under intense persecution for their faith in Christ. In fact, it was so intense that they had to literally flee for their life. Their life was in danger. And they fled, and they had to leave their homes, their belongings, their possessions, I'm sure friends, extended family, and they were like scattered, hurting sheep. And Peter writes to them, and I want you to see what he tells them in chapter 4. And look at verse 12. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's taking place among you to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, so that you may rejoice and be glad also in the revelation of His glory. If you are reproached because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or even as a busybody. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God because of it." Verse 19 says, "So then, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good." What's the point he's making here, guys? Here it is. God is going to take your hurts and use them for good. Don't be ashamed of your hurts, but use them for His glory. And remember this, it's in your handout. Many times your greatest ministry for Jesus will come out of your greatest hurt. And you know, I mentioned earlier a couple that was sitting right here on the front row in the 8 o'clock service named John and Linda Schoenwetter, and they head up our grief share on Monday night. And they have a ministry that's gone on for years, and they've helped countless multitudes of people through their grief and to understand their grief and to get through their grief. But guess what? That ministry was born out of grief. That they got involved in that ministry because of the loss of their son. Their greatest ministry came out of the greatest hurt they've ever been through. You heard me mention Anthony Stocking. This is a great ministry, but it was born out of grief. It was born out of hurt. The deepest hurt that Al and Jamie ever experienced. And that was the death of their 12-year-old son, Anthony. Many times as we grow in Christ, Jesus shows us how we can take those past hurts and use those to point people to Jesus and really help people. Because here's the deal. Without Jesus and without the Bible, your hurts just hurt. You can't make any sense out of them. Hard as you try, you cannot make any sense out of them. They just hurt. But once you begin to study the Bible and you understand what God has done for you in Jesus, and you understand the hurt that Jesus went through on the cross, but then you look and you're like, man, the hurt, the pain, the suffering that he went through, but the good that came out of it, the glory that came out of it, the people that have been helped and saved and delivered because of that hurt, you begin to realize, wow, that's what Jesus wants to do through me. And you begin to see that your hurts can actually be a tool for God's service. And that is vividly demonstrated by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We'll bring it up on the screen, where he said, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." And notice he calls him the God of all what? Comfort. And then he says this, look at this, "who comforts us," God comforts us in all our tribulation, all of our hurts, "that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble." How? "By the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." How do I comfort someone else? He says, through the comfort you experienced from God. And I asked John and Linda, I said, "Did God comfort you greatly during the loss of your son?" And they said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Have you been able to take that comfort and then share it with other people and help them?" And they said, "Yes." And that's a vivid illustration of that right there. Paul was taking his hurts and using them to minister to others. It's really what Anthony Stocking is all about. You know, one of the greatest hurts in our life, Denise and I, is miscarrying two children. But we've been able to help so many other couples by the comfort that we receive from God during that time. And there could be things in your life that have happened to you that you really regret. There could be things in your life that you really resent that have happened to you. And there may be things that you want to forget. There could be things that you really want to hide because of the pain associated with it. To bring it out is to bring up pain. But I just want you to know that God very much, he's not going to push you to do it, but God wants to be able to use those things to help other people. And you know what? You may not be ready for that yet, but God can eventually do that. It's part of your spiritual DNA. It's part of you. Your hurts are part of you. And like I said, you may not be ready to do that and you know, to deal with that hurt and to kind of unpack that and have to deal with that. And it may be raw, you know, but at least be praying about it, thinking about it, and thinking that, hey, one day I am going to be able to take this and help other people. Whenever you think about hurtful memories that you've been through, and we all have them, or you think about hurtful things that you're going through right now, whenever you experience hurts, remind yourself of two things. And in your handout it says, number one, remind yourself, I'm not the only one. In 1 Peter 5, 9, he said, man, this stuff you guys are going through, he said, I just want you to know, so many of your brothers and sisters are going through the same thing throughout the world, this persecution for your faith. He says, you're not the only ones going through this. And whatever it is we've experienced, the hurt, other people have gone through a similar hurt, or they're going through it right now. And then the second thing you need to remind yourself is this, is that not only am I not the only one, but number two, others need my help. And so when we talk about hurts, it could be a divorce, it could be health problems, problems with your children, the death of a loved one, an addiction, child abuse that you endured, marital problems, depression. But God can take those hurts and then use them for his glory as you minister and you help other people through similar pain. But here's the deal. For God to use those hurts, you have to be willing to open up and share them. And that's not always easy. And I'm not up here telling you that's easy, because I know it's not. It's not easy to be vulnerable and to open up about your hurts. It's not easy to share those sometimes even with our closest loved ones. But yet, understand that God can take those things and use them to help other people. And out of that can come maybe a very powerful ministry for you. And I think that Christ is our example, of course, of taking the hurt, taking the pain, the humiliation, just the mockery, all that Christ went through. And yet he's taken all that and he's used it to help others. And I'm reminded of this verse, Hebrews 2:18. It's on the screen. It says, it's in the context is Jesus. It says, "For since he himself suffered while being tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And so I think you see there the principle that I'm trying to share, exemplified, of course, always goes back to Jesus. He's our ultimate example. And the Bible says that Jesus suffered. There was hurt, there was pain. And the hurt and the pain and the suffering that he went through, because of that, he's able to help those who are going through that. So see, there's a lot that goes into you being you. And there's five components of your spiritual DNA. There's your spiritual gifts you got when you got saved. But then through that, God says, "I want to take your past, your heart, what you're passionate about, your talents and abilities that you've either born with or developed, and then your hurts." And God says, "I want to take all of that." Because you know, if I say, okay, here's your spiritual gifts, your past, your heart, your abilities, your talents, and your hurts. And you know what all that forms? You. It forms you. That's you. And there's nobody just like you. Some of you are like, "Phew, glad to hear that." You are uniquely designed to serve the Lord. You know, and you can't be me, and I can't be you. You can only be you. And you are one of a kind. And like I said, there's nobody else like you. And so, when you get involved serving the Lord, listen, all of us in here, every single one of us in here, it's a tale of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen? Every one of us. There's good. There's bad. There's ugly. Every one of us. But God wants to take all that and be able to use that to serve him, to help people, to point him to Jesus. And it's an exciting road to travel like none you've ever been on before. So let's do this. Let's pray. Would you pray with me right now? And let's ask God to use us. Can you just pray that? Again, you may not be ready for all this, but can you at least just pray right now and just say, "God, I do want you to use me. I want you to use me in your service. I want my life to have an impact, God, on other people positively for you." I know for me, more than anything, I want to point people to Jesus. And so, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, would you pray with me right now?